WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden alongside world leaders in Europe today. The president will be meeting with Pope Francis, the Pope addressing the dangers of AI at the G7 summit and urging developers to use the technology to serve humanity. South Florida in the middle of a furious flash flood emergency. Rain has been falling since Tuesday and is expected to keep falling throughout the day today. Part of the building on the campus of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High in Parkland, Florida, being demolished beginning today. U.S. Supreme Court may be out with some big decisions today, including one involving homelessness.
We're also waiting to see from the justices whether cities and states can penalize people for sleeping outside. It's the biggest case on homelessness in more than 40 years. The justices could decide whether cities can use ticketing to get people off the streets.
ABC's Devin Dwyer, the justices could also release a decision today on whether presidents, including Donald Trump, should have absolute immunity from criminal prosecution. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Perry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The former commander of Volk Field is asking Governor Evers to investigate how Adjutant General David May handled her termination. Leslie Zisda Martin was cleared in 4 internal investigations into alleged misconduct. Current and former Guard members tell Wisconsin Watch that May and other leaders broke National Guard policies. Half of all Americans hold down working-class jobs, but that's only true for less than 2% of all state lawmakers across the country. Researcher Nicholas Carnes says middle-income earners are priced out of public service.
This is an unintended side effect of just how burdensome it is to run for office. And so we need to think about targeted interventions that will make running for office more accessible to working class people.
The study comes from Duke and Loyola Chicago Universities. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Vigorous efforts to combat unemployment insurance fraud have intensified in recent years. Department of Workforce Development Secretary Ann Pekacek shared with members of the department's Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council. She said over the past 5 years, more than 30 program integrity projects and activities have been adopted, expanded, and initiated to strengthen the UI program. She added the department's strong collection program also recovers a considerable portion of overpayments when they do occur. In addition to joining the National Association of State Workforce Agencies Integrity Data Hub in 2022, expansion and enhancement of the state's fraud prevention and integrity efforts has involved authorization security questions, enhanced identity proofing, financial investigative technology, LexisNexis fraud detection and data assessment, new fraud scans, work search audit enhancement, and workers' compensation cross-matching. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Cincinnati Reds. Freddy Peralta against the Reds, Hunter Green. The Cubs lost again last night to the Tampa Bay Rays, 3-2. Chicago has now lost 8 of their last 9 series. NFL, Green Bay Packers have signed their first-round draft pick. Offensive lineman Jordan Morgan, he was asked what does he think it'll take to earn a starting job this fall.
Every day you strive to be the best. You strive to be your best, and you compete with yourself first before you compete with everybody else, and that's the one thing I want to do.
College football, Mason Posa is a 6'3" high school linebacker from New Mexico, ranked as one of the best players in the nation. Last night, Posa announced what school he's committed to.
And for the moment we've all been waiting for. For the next 3 to 4 years, I'll be committed to University of Wisconsin.
That's linebacker Mason Posa with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 80. Partly cloudy, 55 tonight. Partly sunny with highs in the upper 70s on Saturday and a chance of an afternoon shower. Saturday night, showers and storms, a low of 65. Showers and storms scattered about on Sunday with a high of 88.
It's 67 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for Dominic's birthday and airing of the grievances. Devil's Advocates, you know how we do it. The birthday edition. Tune in for it.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
My cousin in Milwaukee, USA. She got boyfriends by the dozen when she sang in a low-down way. She was a positive sensation.
I know her voice. Who is that?
Ella Fitzgerald.
Ella Fitzgerald.
My cousin was my inspiration. That's how I got like this. I got a cousin in Milwaukee. She's got a voice so sweet.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, why are you playing this music?
Well, I'm playing it because somebody thinks Milwaukee's a horrible city, and I think there's a lot of people who disagree, and there's been some music to suggest it.
Let's do this. It's the final day of the statewide Scani Summer giveaway. Download the Civic Media app and text to enter for your chance to win some great prizes. One person every hour will win a Wisconsin Dells prize pack. One every day. We'll win a pair of Milwaukee Brewer tickets, and two grand prize winners will get their choice of a Wisconsin staycation. Use the Civic Media app and text the word freedom to enter. The key word is freedom. So, Sandy, you and I were having this conversation off the air. You remember that old saying, the chicken in every pot? And who was the guy who was running for office?
I think it was Dewey.
Yeah, Dewey, who said a chicken in every pot.
Well, no, Dewey accused FDR of promising everyone a chicken in every pot, and that was sort of his way of suggesting that Roosevelt was promising whatever
more than he could
deliver, and whatever anyone wanted. And we have a candidate, I think, who's using that exact strategy, who's got essentially no policy, no specific policy pronouncements other than promising that he will solve everybody's problems. He's going to create peace in Ukraine immediately, while he's going to help Ukraine fight and resist Russia better. He's also going to solve the war overnight. Those two things don't really pan out together. He's going to reduce the deficit and put the United States onto fiscal soundness while he gets rid of the income tax and replaces it with tariffs, which is inflationary, while he cuts taxes, which is inflationary and increases the deficit. He's going to make America great again, but he's not promising how. His last administration, he was going to come out with a health plan that was much better than Obamacare. He never even came up with a plan to discuss, much less a proposal that was passed. When you promise everybody whatever they want, but you don't put any detail to it, what are you promising? You're really promising nothing, okay? And nothing is what will happen. as the result of this kind of a process where give people vague promises that promise them that they can imagine what they want and they will get it. And you have actually promised nothing, but you have, in the mind's eye of the people who are persuaded by you, you've promised them everything.
He's going to bring everybody back up to the middle class. He's going to bring the middle class back to where it once was.
He's going to restore jobs. Yeah. All of the jobs that we can imagine are going to get restored in America. Our economy is going to hum even more than it's humming. You know, we've got a very strong economy right now. I mean, people ought to sit back and think and say, okay, let's talk about some details. How does this work? And with respect to how does it work, how does that square with even Republican kinds of values? Whose values are going to be conformed with in the context of accomplishing these objectives that you describe? And that's where, you know, there used to be there's no meat. Okay, there's no meat, and there is no meat so far in the discussions of policy associated with the former president.
Sandy, is it safe to say that Donald Trump is running on a, you know, kind of a popularity, a celebrity?
Well, a populist
platform.
It's called a populist platform, and that's exactly what a chicken in every pot. That's what Dewey was ascribing to Roosevelt. That's what he was suggesting was wrong with what Roosevelt was doing. It was promising people whatever. And we have a candidate right now who is making no bones about it. He is promising whatever without putting any meat on the bones with respect to the policies that will be implemented, other than pie-in-the-sky policies like replacing the income tax with tariffs, which is Looney Tunes.
You know, Sandy, I remember Donald Trump saying, I'm bringing back all of those auto jobs that went overseas. We're going to bring all of those back, and those great jobs, like the one I worked for 34 years, we're bringing all of those back. During his 4 years, some came back, but nowhere near.
Well, I think the net effect of his presidency actually was job loss, but a lot of that could be ascribed to the pandemic. But there have been far more jobs, manufacturing jobs, brought back under the aegis of things like the CHIP Act and some of the things under current policies than were brought back. You know, that we had the illusory 13,000 jobs that were coming with Foxconn. That didn't happen. There were promises, but they ended up failing.
All right, Greg from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Greg. How you doing, sir? Good to hear from you.
Good morning. Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. You know, we've got a candidate for president who I heard a pastor once say, we need to be, as a church, we need to be about what we're for rather than what we're against. And the truth is, Earl and Sandy, we've got a candidate in Donald Trump who is really propagating what he's against rather than what he is for. He's against certain people. He's against, certain elected officials. Joe Biden has said, and by no means is Joe Biden a perfect candidate or a perfect president, but he's shown in his past 4 years what he's for. He's for jobs. He's for, and we've seen jobs go up. He's for, electric cars, and we're seeing, more and more, things like that, more and more investment in that type of thing. Whereas the other candidate tells us what he's against. And so that's my big issue, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Hey, Greg, I owe you a lunch engagement, so leave your number with Calvin, and we'll set that up.
Okay, sounds good, Earl.
Hey, thank you very much, as always. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to make a little comment on that statement about the Milwaukee statement. It was a terrible city. Well, it was in the Journal a couple weeks ago where he tried to deny saying that he never said lock her up, and yet they had all kinds of video and recordings of him saying it, and they fact-checked it, and they rated it as a pants on fire. So, in other words, he's a liar. He did say it many times. But this man is suffering from, trust me, this man is suffering from onset Alzheimer's. He can't remember from 1 minute to the next what he's saying. This man is dangerous. For the life of me, I don't know why they let a mental, his father died from dementia. So, it's a great show. Thank you.
Hey, Don, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, I guess when people don't know what to look for in a candidate, then they can, you can wind up being enamored by the personality of a person.
Well,
right?
I think candidates for quite a while, probably ever since Kennedy, when they realized that charisma was maybe more important than expressed policy.
You're not saying Donald Trump has charisma.
No, but candidates have tried their very best to run on a personality basis rather than a policy basis so that they can have every degree of freedom that they can possibly have when they get into office, and so they can avoid getting down to brass tacks. Because, you know, implementing any policy has some downsides for somebody. If you're going to increase a government program, you're probably going to increase taxes for somebody. If you're going to change the way the medical system works, you're going to have a negative impact on some part of the existing medical system. And so candidates really want to avoid talking about details to the extent possible. And Donald Trump has done it to the max. He's become someone who is a brand rather than anything else. And brands don't speak about specifics. They're symbols. Like, and I think we talked about that a show maybe a month or two ago. But, you know, when someone becomes a symbol, they don't talk about specifics. They just want people to refer back to what it is that symbolically seems to be attractive about them. And so, you know, that's why I think this campaign, the debates that might occur in the campaign are really important, because we've got to move away from personality and move in the direction of policy.
You just talked about the debates. The debates are going to be telling, but it's not going to matter to the people who are enamored with Donald Trump.
Well, I know.
Joe Biden will destroy him in a debate, even the way Joe Biden is right now, Sandy. Joe Biden is a guy who will be able to, based on what he's been able to accomplish, he'll be able to point those things out. Donald Trump's not going to talk about those kinds of things. He's going to talk about the fact that, you know, Brandon, let's go Brandon.
Well, you know, yeah, debates. And the other thing is the formats for the debates have gotten pretty far away from being able to talk about actual policy. And they've turned into sort of name-calling efforts displays of personality, which is, again, like I said, this is what candidates have tried to do, is create a battle of personalities rather than policy. And certainly a populist candidate would want to pursue that course. I noticed Donald Trump's already trying to manage expectations. Before campaigns, he says, you know, they might be rigged. He just said a couple of days ago that he might lose the first debate to make sure that they don't replace Joe Biden as the candidate.
The other part of it, Sandy, is who's going to be able to hold Donald Trump to the conversation and the question? He's going to do what he does, right? Freelance. 844-967-2789. Hang on the lines. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Get everything you need for your next project today at Menards and save big money. LP Smart Side products are the number one brand of engineered wood siding. Smart Side trim and siding offers long-lasting performance and delivers the warmth and beauty of traditional wood. Save big money today at Menards and LP Smart Side products. Plus, visit Menards.com to view the weekly flyer and check out all of our great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
There's no better time than now to join Badger men's basketball at the Kohl Center. Secure your seats today and be there as the Badgers face off against Big Ten rivals all month on their home court. For more information on Wisconsin men's basketball and to purchase tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm gonna get on that old turnpike and I'm gonna ride. I'm gonna leave this town till you
I know who that
decide.
Is.
Which one you want the most?
Dolly Parton.
Yep.
Milwaukee, here I come from Nashville, Tennessee.
So Milwaukee, clearly, let's go back into the show. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. And so, Sandy, many people, Milwaukee's not been, you know, just a small town. I mean, Milwaukee. At one point in time, was what, 16th, 17th largest city?
No, it was 8th. It was 10th and 11th, right in that range. It was Pittsburgh and Milwaukee were vying for 10 and 11. When the Milwaukee Braves came to Milwaukee in 1953, it was the biggest metropolitan area that didn't have a major league team. When my dad moved to Milwaukee long ago in the mid-20s, it was the boom town of America. No, Milwaukee's always been both a prosperous place. You know, the only reason Milwaukee has slid in population, slid in ranking, is not that it slid in its metropolitan area population, but that all the cities south of the Mason-Dixon line, which were small until the commercialization of air conditioning, became very, very large. Almost every city that's past Milwaukee in size is located south of the Mason-Dixon line.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Well, good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thank you for taking my call today. As I listened to Sandy say that Trump doesn't speak of particulars, he does. Sandy just brought out one claim that he's going to end taxes for tip earners. And that's going to be huge for people because inflation has hurt people at the lower middle income levels. He spoke of what he's going to do for energy, for the border, you name it. So when you generalize and say he doesn't speak in specifics, I think you're feeding in the misinformation because he is and he will, and he's got a record, and it's a lot better than this president.
Hey, what is he going to do for energy, CJ, by the way?
This president.
What is he going to do for energy, by the way?
Drill, baby, drill. Oh. And you know what? He's going to utilize our energy. He's not going to buy from Iran. He's not going to deplete our energy reserves, our national energy reserves, that it's one of the lowest points ever. And we're about going into wartime. This is... has been a disaster with this president, and that's all we need is his record. His record compared to number 45.
All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Well, I think we should talk about specifics and record because, for instance, drill, baby, drill, the policies associated with how we get there, and drill, baby, drill suggests that we aren't currently
drilling.
Producing the most oil that we've ever produced, okay? We've set records. We're setting records this year for how much oil we've produced, more oil than was produced during Trump's administration in any year. So, you know, we aren't short of oil, number one. Number two, with that massive amount of oil, we do continue to import oil, but that's because of the sort of oil that we produce, which is not all the sweet crude of the sort that we need, that our refineries need. So the reason we import oil has to do with our refining capacity and the nature of our refineries. So those are facts that are just different than generalities. Eliminating taxes on tips It's interesting. That sounds like a chicken in the pot to me in terms of a promise. And of course, it only gets accomplished by Congress, not by the president. But that's obviously something that is being hung out to try to hang a promise in front of people who are in the service industry. We can't only cut taxes. We have to figure out how we finance the cut in taxes, just in the same way that we have to figure out how we finance increases in programs. And so, you know, there's been the tip income is an interesting promise. I think it sounds like a political one to me.
It's not a game changer. Well, let's be honest.
Well, it's not a game changer. And quite frankly, tip earning is something that has been something that's sort of under the table, right? I mean,
right.
The fact is that it's altogether true, and the IRS knows it, that they have to impute earnings to people for tips because people don't necessarily report them. It's part of the cashless. It's part of the cash economy that isn't very taxed.
All right, Brendan, quickly, Brendan, go ahead.
Yeah, just real quick. Did you notice the temperament on the gentleman that just called about Trump and the temperament on the woman that called a little while back about Trump? They always seem so angry. They never specify exactly what Biden's issues are for them. And let's go over it. Energy. He just met with all the oil people down at Mar-a-Lago and said, give me $1 billion and I'll let you rape the land and the people that live on it. The border. We had a great border bill set by one of the most conservative, second most conservative senators out of Oklahoma. And, you know, he stopped that bill. So please stop telling us all about all the great things that Trump's going to do. Oh, by the way, is everybody enjoying their Trump medical plan that was always 2 months off while he was in office for 4 years? Not to mention the $7.7 trillion he left all of us holding the bag on while he gave big discounts to his corporate friends and just gave us a couple of extra bucks in our taxes back, which will end soon, and our kids will be paying for that one. So all the stuff that he talks about, the guy's clueless. He doesn't know anything about economics, and he doesn't surround himself with anybody but sycophants that will say whatever tingles his ear. So I'm just so sick of hearing all this stuff, and I just wanted to say that.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call, Sandy.
Well, like I said, facts matter, and what we ought to do is all be pressing for facts. And when people say that this current president has done such a god-awful job and the country's in such god-awful condition, we ought to ask for just questions. Really? Which are the god-awful things that have occurred, and what are the problems in the economy that you want to address?
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you will return.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. First Lady Jill Biden says older Americans should vote for her husband, the president. She says he's protecting the Affordable Care Act and Social Security.
Bring the experience of our years to meet this moment as if our rights are at risk, because they are. As if our democracy is on the line, because it is.
Mrs. Biden campaigning in Green Bay yesterday. Opinions in Wisconsin are split over the U.S. Supreme Court decision to throw out a case challenging the legality of the medical abortion drug mifepristone. Abortion rights supporters say it's a win for women. Abortion opponents say they'll keep fighting efforts to make the drug more available. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The 65th Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals continues at the Richland County Fairgrounds through Sunday. Today is Wear Pink for Grace and Senior Night. Tickets at the gate will be priced Friday and Saturday at $8 for adults and $7 for students and senior citizens. Prices Sunday are $9 for adults and $8 for students and senior citizens. All 3 days, children 6 to 12 will be admitted for $4, and children under 6 will be admitted for free. A weekend pass is also available for $25. Only a year ago, local farmers were in the midst of a flash drought. Now Wisconsin is 100% drought-free, but that's not all good news. Steady rain for the past month has left standing water in many farm fields, drowning young corn and soybean plants. Lots of sunshine with lower humidity today and a high around 80. A few clouds tonight and a low of 55. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you like crime and legal dramas, check out the reboot of Presumed Innocent starring Jake Gyllenhaal. The show is based on the book of the same title by Scott Turow, which was turned into a 1990 movie starring Harrison Ford. The show is written and executive produced by David Kelly. Gyllenhaal plays Deputy District Attorney Rusty Sabich, who is accused of killing a coworker. The first two episodes of Presumed Innocent dropped June 12th on Apple TV, and new episodes will air on Wednesday nights. Actress Kate Winslet recently spoke to Vanity Fair about how awkward and uncomfortable some of her scenes with Leo DiCaprio were in Titanic. Winslet says she constantly had to redo her makeup between takes because of the kisses with DiCaprio. Winslet added that it wasn't just the makeup issues, but that her costume in the film was very uncomfortable throughout shooting. Making it even worse is that she was only paid $2 million for the gig. We all have a cross to bear. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 80. Partly cloudy, 55 tonight. Partly sunny with highs in the upper 70s on Saturday and a chance of an afternoon shower. Saturday night, showers and storms, a low of 65. Showers and storms scattered about on Sunday with a high of 88.
Right now, it's 70.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, I am so excited. We wrap up On the Road with Jane and Todd in my favorite place, Amory, Wisconsin. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
All right, and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And remember to text the word freedom using the Civic Media app. Today is the last day to enter the giveaway. You know, Sandy, I recall as a young boy in school going, every morning we would, as a child, we would be requested to stand up and face the flag and put our hand over our heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, individual, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Not I pledge allegiance to a person. Sandy, that ideal of pledging allegiance and the reason that the Pledge of Allegiance was created in the first place was to bring people together in hopes that they would see something bigger than the separations that separated us. Let's talk a little bit about what that is and why people should think about those words today.
Well, first of all, when I learned the Pledge of Allegiance in the early 1950s, the words under God weren't in the Pledge of Allegiance, number one. Number two, the Pledge of Allegiance, I think a lot of people think it might have been drafted by the founders or comes from the back at the time of the founding of the country. And actually, it was something that I think was initially drafted in the 1890s for the very reason you describe, which was to try to pull the country together after the Civil War and to try and have people take a unified view of sort of the community of interest that was the people of the United States of America. And the flag was meant to be symbolic of that unified interest, a star for every state all together, the 13 stripes for the three original colonies, sort of the unity of interest that was represented by the flag. And so what's happened, I think, is that that people have grabbed a hold of patriotism and tried to weaponize it by simply trying to ascribe patriotism to a particular political ideological outlook.
You know, Sandy, we're at a point where, you know, we're so divided. The only reason I brought the Pledge of Allegiance up is because 20 years ago, there was a battle in this country because people were saying, we don't want the Pledge of Allegiance, and people pushed and forced this, and they wanted this to happen. How can 20 years later, we are now pledging allegiance to an individual? If you listen to the words, and they should mean something, Sandy, they were meant, those are poignant words, and if you listen to them, they really do mean something. And so I think maybe people have forgotten it. It's the reason I'm bringing that up now, because this divide in this country is only getting worse. And maybe what people need to do is hear that Pledge of Allegiance again and let it marinate. And then maybe hopefully they'll understand that where we're headed is not the right way.
Well, similarly, the oath of office taken by just about every person who takes office in the United States is an oath of office pledging to enforce the laws of the country and of the Constitution. And so that, again, runs contrary to the notion that somebody is that an individual should be the source of loyalty when loyalty actually is intended to be towards the unified interests of the country and its laws and its constitution.
Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I know how to encompass the Pledge of Allegiance so it makes more sense to this day and age. Instead of saying one nation under God, when I pledge allegiance, I say all nationalities under their own God.
Yeah, I mean, when you live in a nation like ours where the whole human family is here, it makes better sense to include everybody who's here, right?
Yep.
Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, the reason I'm bringing that up is in hopes that people will wax nostalgic and think about where we're headed. This slippery slope that we're headed down, Sandy, at some point in time, it's got to be turned around. I don't know what it's going to take to turn it around, but maybe that pledge that meant so much to people, you know, for a long time. Maybe that may be something that can kind of work towards bringing people back together.
Well, you know, there's a part of the Bible in which they talk about the danger of idolatry.
Right.
And I'm afraid that the cult of the personality smacks a great deal of idolatry, where you're putting an individual above what is important in the country, which is really America is an experiment in democracy that is premised on the rule of law. And it's premised on the rule of law being applied to everyone. And it's premised on the notion that laws are created by the people and that they're created by the people for the benefit of the Commonwealth. And all of that is put into such jeopardy and runs so contrary to the notion of idolatry, the notion of a cult in which you are putting loyalty to a person above the rest. And so that's what I hope people begin to sit up and rethink, okay? Just how much is their attention to a candidate being drawn by something other than an interest in promoting the Commonwealth and the common good?
So, Sandy, let's look at the damage that this will cause. You know, Trump at the most can get 4 years. He'll be gone off the scene. What happens, you know, where are they going to get their next Donald Trump? So if it's the man that they're enamored with, and that is the case, they're enamored with that man. I don't know. I never saw The Apprentice. So, you know, I don't know what the people saw. But, you know, I just knew the Donald Trump as when I was a young man and his faux pas and the things that he did. But to have ascended to the level of almost a deity, what happens to the people who have canonized Donald Trump after Donald Trump is gone?
Well, that's always the problem of autocracy, okay? When you have, monarchies had a method for succession. It wasn't a particularly good one. It was, you know, the oldest child. But, and God help us.
Don Jr.?
Yeah, I mean, I did notice that J.D. Vance, who apparently wants to be vice president very badly, yesterday spent a great deal of time talking about what a magnificent person Don Jr. was. So maybe that's where we're headed in terms of the nature of the cult movement and how it forms its method for succession. But you know, that's why the peaceful transfer of power is basic.
You know, Sandy, I'm laughing, but that wouldn't be too far a bridge to cross thinking that they would go next to Don Jr. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Well, I read a lot, obviously. I read every book that was written about his administration, the people who worked with him. There are very few people who actually had anything nice to say about Donald Trump. I don't believe it could be Joe Blow that a certain society is promoting. But these people who have a large amount of money, who are the rich, who are promoting this, it could be a clown. It's a clown show because they are funding money for these people to state certain ideas that the rest of the people will believe in. And so it really isn't Trump. It is the people behind Trump. It is Project 2025. It is all this that has started years ago. And what we have to do is bring all this to the American people and say, people are controlling you. You are not controlling the country. The only way that you can take back your country is to vote and vote these people out of office. We have seen this in Wisconsin, where Republicans have taken control, and what have they done? They have destroyed the unions. They destroyed our schools. They destroyed our farmland. So we have to take this back. And then once people realize that, and they come together as a whole, united we stand, divided we shall fall. And these people who are controlling have divided us so that we are angry and we yell at each other, but we get nowhere. We have to unite again as a people, for the people, by the Constitution and the rule of law. That is what we need to do.
Hear, hear, Susan. Hear, hear. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go back to CJ quickly. CJ, you say what?
Well, again, I can give so many specifics of things that he has done good.
Give us some more specifics of what he's done instead of talking about Biden's failures. What are some of the other specifics that he's done?
How about discussing the current president and his failures?
No. CJ, you began your response by saying there's so many things I could say about what Donald Trump has done. And I ask you, and your response is, let's talk about the failures of Joe Biden. What are all those great things that Donald Trump has done that you said you could bring up?
Inflation was at 1.4%, not 9%, what Biden claims day in and day out, right? So the facts speak for themselves. The cost of fuel, the cost of housing, the cost of food, the cost of groceries every time you go to the grocery store.
He did those things, CJ?
Versus Biden.
Hey, CJ, I'm asking you, did Donald Trump do those things?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you. Clearly, when Barack Obama came into office and President George Bush Jr. was in office and we were almost headed towards recession, depression, then are you saying then that Barack Obama did all those great things to turn the economy around, or was it Donald Trump who did that?
You want to talk about Obama. I want to talk about Trump's success.
No.
You can't dispute anything I said, Earl.
I can. I'm saying that those things started under then-President Barack Obama. The turnaround didn't start under Donald Trump. Started under Barack Obama. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
News from the center, WRCE.
It's been rough and rocky traveling, but I'm finally standing upright on the ground. After taking several readings, I'm surprised to find my mind still fairly sound. I guess Nashville was the roughest, but I know I've said the same about them all. We received our education in the cities of the nation, me and Paul. Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. Means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines and Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hey, I've been working all morning, so I didn't get a chance to listen, but I was hoping to talk about Donald Trump dissing Milwaukee.
We talked about it, Gary. Now, what do you want to say about it?
Yeah, I know. I was working, so I couldn't listen.
What can I say? But anyway, go ahead. Okay.
So, the fact is, he didn't say it. The people that were in the room did not hear it. And I listened to Johnson last night, and Johnson said, I was there. He said, he didn't say anything.
What so, Johnson? Ron Johnson? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so he said that's not true. He said some guy goes out and says anything about anything you want. Now, even if he did say it, the fact is, why would we have the Republican convention in a heavily Democratic city? Why wouldn't they have it at a city that is more conducive and courteous and open to Republicans, you know, like Nashville or some other
city? Because Nashville didn't want it. Nashville didn't want it, number one.
Well, they should have had it.
Oh, okay.
They're looking for problems. I mean, it's going to be hell for those couple days that it's going to go on. There's going to be they want the Democrats or the people that don't like Trump. They want to be right there at the Pfizer Forum. They want to be like right there. Well, if you want to have a riot, then have it right there. No, they should tell them to go out to Waukesha and have their protest. You know, you
want that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
But the point of the
people have
is,
a constitutional right, Gary, to protest.
But do you want it to be peaceful? Why not get together someplace farther away, like blocks or miles away, and have your little protest? Why not? You know, do you think that there's going to be a problem, Earl? Sandy, do you think there's just going to be a problem? I think there is. And
Gary, let me respond to what you just said.
Personally, I don't want my chickens.
Well, Sandy, let me respond. They spent $50 to $75 million on law enforcement. So no, I don't think there is going to be a big problem. And people who are trying to scare people that there's going to be some major riot, just not being truthful.
Going to be down there.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I think that to forecast problems, first of all, there aren't many major cities in the country that aren't run, that don't have a Democratic mayor, okay? And furthermore, the Republicans chose Milwaukee to be the site of their convention. And they did it for their own political reasons, the main one being that they view Wisconsin as an important battleground state. Tennessee isn't an important battleground state. And so they didn't choose it. So, I think that it's all just a smokescreen, something to talk about, a way to try to further the notion that Republicans have that somehow cities are the area of problems, cities are run by Democrats, and just watch, we're going to have a convention in a Democratic city and there are going to be problems. I'll be very surprised if there are any problems.
You know, Sandy, they had conventions in Cleveland, in Charlotte, North Carolina, Republicans. And so this, you know, untruth that Gary and others are laying out are talking points that, you know, well, look, this is why he's saying the protest should be, you know, anywhere else. Look, this is the city of Milwaukee. Republicans are coming in. They don't own the city. And the whole charter for the city shouldn't be changed for 3 days while the Republican Party convention is there. They chose to come to Milwaukee. Milwaukee didn't choose to come to them. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, and furthermore, this is all based on an expectation of problem, which is ill-founded. I mean, I don't think there's been any suggestion of any organized effort to cause difficulties for the convention. I mean, we can look back at Chicago, I suppose, in 1968, but you have to go a long ways back to find a situation in which a city which might have had a government of a different persuasion than the convention, where there were any problems whatsoever. So this is all just, I think, another way of making talking points in the urban versus rural dispute that exists politically.
Well, you know, Sandy, he started his conversation off with Donald Trump didn't say that. He wasn't there, right? But right away, Donald Trump didn't say that. Well, you know, Sandy, we talked about that earlier. He wasn't there, but he's automatically, he knows that this is all fabricated. And I don't know how you respond to people who already have those things, their minds made up. Let's go quickly to, go ahead, Sandy.
Well, no, I just, the language was used like he didn't say it, but even if he did say it, this is what he meant. Clearly, it sounds like a lawyer carrying water for somebody, and the fact is that plenty of people present said he did say it, and in fact, he's now describing what he meant by what he said.
Hey Sandy, congratulations to your grandson who's graduating today, and so, man, enjoy that, and we'll talk on Tuesday.
All right.
Thank everybody who made the show go this week. Calvin, thank you as always. Could not do it without you. Up next, Matt Nair on air with Greg Bach. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Enjoy the weekend. See you guys on Monday.
Play and not just for the ride. Well, we drank a lot of whiskey, so I don't know if we went on that night at all. But I don't think they even missed us. I guess Buffalo ain't geared for me and Paul. Well, it's been rough and rocky traveling, but I'm finally standing upright on the ground.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas on National Movie Night. And as usual, Terry Barr joins us and enlightens us with some fantastic music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows. Say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
All this week from 10 to 2
on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center.